Welcome to the Reach a Peak podcast experience. This podcast is for athletes of all levels who want to level up their nutrition to level up their game. Join me as I explore the world of nutrition, health, and performance. Each week, I dive into a new topic to help expand your knowledge, separate truth from myth, and change your perspective so you can start winning the right way and reach your peak potential. I'm your host, Alexa, the sports dietitian nutrition coach. Let's go. Welcome back to the Reach a Peak podcast experience. Let's get into today's episode because I'm thinking this one's going to be very helpful for you because I'm going to be sharing the top 10 nutrition myths that need to die and why. Now, why is this topic important? Well, it's self-explanatory. Okay, so many athletes out there are affected by all the misinformation. Some of the misinformation just gets them off the right track. Some information just makes them not be aware of exactly why they're doing things and the correct way of doing things. Whereas some information, just plain old, actually affects their health, affects their mindset, affects their results. So we need to address this. We need to address these myths that have been plaguing, so to speak, the nutrition space for so long. And a lot of the ones today, hence why I say they need to die, is because they've been around for so long and they keep getting perpetuated by the pseudoscience out there, the gurus, you know, I'm just using that word, you know, the people that kind of, they shouldn't be giving advice about nutrition, but they are. And just a lot of the push for quick fixes in society as well. So I'm going to share the 10 myths today and I'm going to tell you why they are not good, okay, why they're myths and the truth behind them so you can get some more clarity around your nutrition. So without further ado, let's get into it. So myth number one is that low-calorie diets are necessary for fat loss success. Wrong. Here's the truth. Everyone has a different kind of range where they're in a caloric deficit. Once you're in a caloric deficit, if you are truly, by definition, in a caloric deficit, you will be losing weight. Now, traditionally, we think a caloric deficit has to be low calories, but that's not exactly right. It's just lower calories than what you are probably eating if you aren't currently losing weight. So for example, let's say your maintenance is 2,500, okay? Now, if you were to eat 2,100, that's not necessarily low calorie diet. It might, you know, you could argue for some people, it could be not enough calories. Like that's a whole different argument. This is just an example. But it's not a low calorie diet, like a 1,200 diet or something like that. But the 2,100 diet could be very well in the caloric deficit. Therefore, that's going to help with fat loss. So no, you do not need to be in a low calorie diet to lose fat. It's just that when you're in a low calorie diet, you're at such a low level of calories that you're in a very big deficit. And therefore, of course, you're going to lose weight and usually in a rapid way, which is not ideal because you'll be losing more of that percentage from muscle mass than you would be from body fat anyway. So yeah, low calorie diets are not necessary. And if you are thinking about going lower calorie and you're thinking you're pushing the limit, speak to a sports dietitian. They'll see exactly what's going on and tell you the truth. But yeah, don't believe the hype that you have to be low calorie if you want to lose fat. Not necessarily true. Myth number two. This is a big one. And one that I swear I've made so much content to address this is that low carb is apparently the way to go. Low carb is healthier. Low carb is better for performance. Low carb is better for, you know, for weight loss. Low carb is better for, you know, hormonal balance, you know, inflammation. Like low carb has been associated as being this benefit for so many different things, where in actual fact, low carb is just a low carb diet. For some people, it's going to be okay. For some people, it's going to be not okay. For some people, it's going to be beneficial for results, depending on their circumstances. For some people, it won't. And at the end of the day, low carb for a lot of athletes will be to the detriment of performance and functionality and health. Because as athletes, we need that carbohydrates as our primary fuel source. So no, low carb is not the way to go. It's just one diet among many where for certain individuals, it could be okay, but you don't need to be low carb. You don't need to be fearing carbs because they are not evil. Okay, we got to stop demonizing food. Carbs really need a lot of love from us because for so long right now, they've been like the villain, so to speak. So if carbs could talk, I'm sure that they would cry while they were doing so because they've been hated on for so long. But yeah, no, carbs are perfectly fine. They're delicious. They're nutritious and they're going to help you perform better. Eat your carbs. The third one is that supplements can help you fast track your results. No, unless we're talking about illegal supplements, which we will not be talking about, and even then, it's not just a surefire way to get results. When we're talking about supplements of any form, whether in nutritional supplements or more sports performance supplements, you know, creatine and all those sort of things, they're not going to fast track your results. Even if your nutrition, like your food first nutrition approach, is solid, your supplements are not going to fast track your results. They're not going to supersize your results. All they're going to do is potentially give you an extra benefit, maybe up to 1% to 2%, which is, you know, it actually is significant when it comes to performance and competition. But it's not going to fast track your results suddenly because you're taking a supplement. And that's not to mention that most supplements in the world are not even good anyway. Okay, they're rubbish, for lack of a better word. So no, supplements will not fast track your results. They are literally supplementary. For some supplements, it's going to be more for convenience, like protein powder. It's going to make it easier for you to hit your protein. Other supplements like creatine and beta-alanine, which have evidence to support them, they're going to help you function better and give you a small marginal increase in your performance, which can make a difference on the field. But they're not going to fast track your results. They're not going to supersize you, like I said. They're just supplementary, and you've got to make sure you're taking the right ones for the right purpose in the first place. Now, the next one, the fourth kind of myth that we really need to address, which luckily doesn't come up as often, at least in when I'm scrolling through, you know, social media and everything, but it's food combining. The notion that you can't, you know, that you have to break into, like when you're doing intermittent fasting, you have to break the fasting by not eating fats and carbs together. That in other times you have to combine protein with this and carbs with that and fat with this, because if you combine them all together, it's going to cause an ill effect, or it's going to cause you to not get the same result, and all this kind of rubbish. And it is that, it is rubbish. Food combining does not work. Food combining that the biohackers, which honestly, if someone calls themselves a biohacker, be very careful about the advice you're getting from them, okay, because most of it's bullshit. And then what you want to do is when you hear about food combining, just say, nope, I'm just going to eat the meal that I feel like I'm going to eat that fits my goal and my plan and that I enjoy, and you'll be fine. Eat a meal with protein, carbs, and fats all together, having a party on your plate, you'll be perfectly fine. In actual fact, it'll probably be better for you. So don't worry about this food combining and stressing over that. There's no evidence to support that. Okay, now number five, okay, the fifth myth is that low-fat dairy / milk / whatever, you know, those kind of foods, has heaps more sugar than the full fat. I don't even know how this myth actually came about, because it only takes is for you to look at the label and realize quickly that, let's use milk as an example because it's the most obvious one people use. You look at the actual sugar in it, it's actually marginally different. Like, it's hardly any difference. And the only reason it's slightly different is because you're obviously taking away the fat from the milk. So per volume, you're going to make up the volume. It's going to be technically maybe more sugar, and the sugar in it, it's not added sugar. It's lactose, which is a natural sugar in dairy. So I don't even know where this myth came from. But yeah, don't worry about it. If you want to have a low-fat dairy like I do, like I want to use my calories elsewhere, so I use low-fat dairy because I'm perfectly fine with it, then do that. There's nothing wrong with it. And even if it technically did have more sugar, that wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, because sugar is also not this evil being that's trying to ruin your results. It's all about moderation with it. But yeah, it's not. There's no kind of added sugars in low-fat milk or anything like that. Just enjoy your skim milk if that's what you drink. Don't be shy. Just drink it and don't stress over it. Now, myth number six is that fasted training is superior for fat loss. Bap, bap, wrong, okay, wrong again, or how the Grinch would say, wrongo. No, fasted training is not superior for fat loss. Now, what they do is they look at studies that show that fat oxidation is higher when you're training faster. Therefore, it's like, oh, but then that means it's burning more fat, right? Well, maybe, but if you are still in a caloric surplus or maintenance, you're still going to be storing the fat again anyway. So it's all about the caloric balance. Faster training is not superior. It still comes down to a caloric deficit. And in actual fact, faster training for most athletes is not going to be ideal because of the intensity of training in games. And that's going to potentially make you dizzy, make you get injured, like injure yourself, not be mentally in tune when you're performing, and all these sort of stuff. So it's actually, there's more cons to pros of faster training, considering that you can just achieve the same result by not training faster, eating something before you actually train, and keeping your calories to where it needs to be to get a certain result. So no, faster training is not superior. If for whatever reason you do prefer it and that's the only way you operate, okay, but don't think that it's superior for fat loss. Okay, now the next myth, okay, the next myth is adding butter to coffee is biohacking your way to success. making you better, making you perform better, helping you with fat loss. This kind of goes along the side of the keto trend in recent years that has been growing and growing. A bit less now, but like we don't hear as much as more, but you still hear it quite a bit. But it's the whole bulletproof coffee where you add butter and fats and MCT oil and all this sort of stuff to your coffee because it's like a biohacker way to really supersize your health and stuff like that. Oh, the many times I've heard this and it just makes me want to pull my hair out. Because no, you adding butter in that, if you enjoy it, okay, go ahead. But keep in mind that if it adds more calories and you go into a surplus, don't be surprised when you're not losing body fat. And also it's not a healthier thing. It's not saying it's going to supercharge your health. It's not going to supercharge your performance. It's just not. It's just adding fat to coffee. And if you enjoy it, go ahead, do it. But don't be expecting miracles from it. A lot of it's just bullshit marketing that's grabbing a lot of money from people because they think that it's this new thing and it sounds exciting and it sounds different. But you got to be careful. Not everything that's new and different is good. Be careful. Okay, now the next one, the eighth myth, is the whole notion that sugar-free drinks are poison. Okay, that sugar-free drinks cause cancer, or that sugar-free drinks cause inflammation, or that sugar-free drinks cause weight gain, or that sugar-free drinks makes you crave sugar more. This is all crap, okay? Like, there's no evidence to support any ill effect from normal consumption of sugar-free drinks, no matter what the sweetener used, you know? If any kind of sweetener in your normal drinks that you drink, whether it's Pepsi Max, Diet Coke, Diet Fanta, whatever it is you drink, Diet Cordial, you know, whatever, none of that is poison. Enjoy it, drink it, drink mostly water. I'm not, as a dietitian, I'm not going to sit here and say, don't even care about water, just drink your sugar-free drinks. Obviously, drink most of your liquids from water. But having a little bit of sugar-free drinks to give you that sensation you're getting a nice, tasty drink without the extra calories in it is not a problem. And if it helps you maintain a caloric deficit, for example, in the fat loss phase, then so be it. There's nothing wrong with that. I drink Pepsi Max all the time, okay? On the weekend, you can be assured that I'm going to probably be drinking some Pepsi Max. So yeah, there's nothing poisonous about sugar-free drinks. They're perfectly fine, and the evidence does not support this either. So don't stress over it. Just drink it and enjoy it. Now, myth number nine is that eating six meals is better for you, for your metabolism, than three meals. Incorrect, okay? Eating six meals is not better than three meals. You just got to choose the one that you prefer, the one that you can sustain, and the one that allows you to hit your nutritional targets in a lot more easier way. It all comes down to calories when it comes to metabolism in that sense. If you're eating the same amount of calories and protein, the same amount of food in six meals versus three meals, it's going to have the same influence. Now, when you're getting more specific and you've really dialed things down and you're trying to focus on meal timing and all this sort of stuff as an athlete, that's different. Work with a sports dietitian. They'll direct you, take out all the guesswork there. But just the notion that eating six meals because you're eating more frequently is going to supercharge your performance and supercharge your metabolism, so to speak, not so much performance and metabolism, is not correct. If you prefer three meals, go ahead with three meals. There's nothing just obviously better about six meals than three meals, as long as you're getting the right nutrition in. And then finally, myth number 10, okay, the final myth today that we're going to share is that you need to eat clean to be healthy and perform at an elite level. No, you don't. And I'm going to use an actual very good example in the sporting space. LeBron James, when you look at it, I've done an episode, so if you want, go listen a few episodes back. I did a review of his diet based on what information is out there. So go back and listen to that after today's podcast if you're interested in that, if you're into basketball and stuff. But LeBron James has a relatively flexible diet where he eats pretty healthy most of the time, but then he does allow himself to enjoy those fun foods. Whereas on the other hand, you've got Cristiano Ronaldo, which a recent article came out where he's super, super strict to the point where everyone, his whole team was together eating and no one touched the apple crumble. I think they used the apple crumble as an example. No one touched the desserts because they were around him and they were like, no, he's not touching it. We're not going to eat it. Now, we can both agree that both of them are very high performance in their own sports and legends in their own sports. There's not an argument who's the best in each of those sports, just that they're really good, okay? We can agree on that, I'm sure. LeBron James, more flexible diet, still performs well at his age. Cristiano Ronaldo, still performs well at his age, eats a very clean diet, traditional way of clean, like we can't have any healthy food, that kind of stuff. So it's not correlated. As long as you hit your nutritional targets, have the right plan in place, have the right strategy in place, you can be fine. And keep in mind that genetics plays a big part of longevity in sports as well, and luck as well. So don't be thinking this notion of, oh, this person's eating clean and they're getting results. That means I have to eat clean to get results. No, for most people, and that's why I'm not a fan of clean eating, not to mention the fact that clean eating, what's the definition? Everyone has a different definition of what clean is. Okay, just clean your food, wash the food and cook it properly. You're eating clean, okay? But the whole notion around clean eating being better, nah. Obviously, eating mostly foods, like 80-20 rule is what I use. So 80% of your diet come from good quality whole foods and up to 20% from fun foods. As long as you're following something like that and have a strategy in place, you'll be fine even if you're not eating quote unquote clean. I honestly think that flexible diets are a lot better than clean eating because they allow you to enjoy life more. So it makes it more sustainable and it just makes you stress less and feel less overwhelmed. A happier mind, a happier soul, a happier athlete, happier performance, I'm sure. Okay, I'm sure that that's the case. So yeah, don't worry about clean eating. It's not this key to health and performance at an elite level. It's just saying that some people prefer and they think it's better. Okay, if you want to eat clean, quote unquote, okay, but don't think that it is necessary. That's my point here. Okay, so that's the 10 myths that I want to share. I'm going to do a quick recap. Okay, so just so you can grab them all in the one go. So number one, low-calorie diets are necessary for fat loss success. No, they're not. Myth number two, low-carb is the way to go. Myth number three, supplements can help you fast-track results. Myth number four, that food combining works. Myth number five, low-fat dairy has heaps more sugar. Myth number six, fasted training is superior for fat loss. Myth number seven, adding butter to your coffee is biohacking your way to success. Myth number eight, sugar-free drinks are poisonous. Myth number nine is eating six meals is better for your metabolism than three meals. And myth number 10, you need to eat clean to be healthy and perform at an elite level. All those statements are wrong. Hopefully I explained the why behind them. Now you understand why they're wrong and what the truth actually is. So now you can go fuel yourself more effectively with less overwhelm. And now you can have more nutrition knowledge and awareness and go ahead with that. Hopefully get better results from it and succeed. Now, obviously, if you want to chat to me to see how I can answer any concerns you may have, if you got anything you want to run by me, if you're really kind of stuck and struggling, if you want to work one-on-one with me, if you want me to be your personal sports dietitian, there is a link in the description notes below, okay, in the show notes, where you can apply to work with me and we can see if we're the right fit. Otherwise, if you have more questions about it, there is also an email in the show notes. So just send me an email at alexa@theclimbingdietitian.com.au and we can have a chat there, see if it's the right fit. And see what I can do for you. Okay, so if you're interested, get in touch. Now, the other thing is, if you enjoyed today's podcast, and if you enjoy my podcast in general, if you're a regular listener, it would mean so much to me, okay? So much to me. If you can go to Apple Podcasts, iTunes, whatever it is that you're using, the Apple Podcast, and leave a review for my podcast, a five-star review, and just let the world know, okay, how my podcast has helped you, what you've learned, that sort of stuff, so we can reach more people, more athletes like you who are trying to level up their nutrition and become better. So just leave a review if you enjoy my podcast. It would mean so much to me if you would do that. Now, until next time, stay classy, stay well, stay safe. I'll talk to you soon. Have a good one. Bye. Thank you for listening to today's podcast episode. Remember to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcast so you can stay up to date whenever I drop an episode. And of course, if you enjoyed today's podcast, remember to go to Apple Podcasts and leave a five-star review. You can also find me on socials where I regularly post valuable sports nutrition content to help you elevate your sports game, elevate your nutrition game, and reach your peak potential. Simply search for The Climbing Dietitian and be sure to click follow. Until next time, stay safe and stay dedicated. See ya.